My name is Joseph Powers. I'm currently assistant principal with the North La Mirada Unified School District in La Mirada, California. My background's in social work and education. I oversee and supervise special education for my school. Prior to that, I was a crisis response specialist with Orange County's alternative education program, Access, and oversaw for the county their services within Access and emergency response, dealing with crisis or students and families within the community. While at Access, I discovered that there was too many kids that kept falling through the holes. Because as a social worker prior to getting into education, I had the best of the best. And what I would focus on were those kids that are level 12, level 14, that were basically hospitalized. Finding resources and helping them and their families, trying to identify resources within their communities to support them while they're going through the system. What I discovered in that process is that, one, a lot of information I didn't have that I needed to get a hold of, as well as the programs that were in place typically were outdated for the services that needed to be at the time. So getting into education, I wanted to start capturing kids and at least making sure they had a diploma in their hand when they got out so they had a fighting chance, and then started looking at resources within the community to help them. So I then got into violence prevention and intervention, since most of my kids at lower socioeconomic levels faced that on a daily basis, whether it's just trying to get to school or what was going on in their own house. So what I looked at was, and for this presentation, I'm going to be looking at problems of injury surveillance. And that's just another word of how we're monitoring or looking at injuries. Also, the gaps in regards to injury prevention. The processes in regards to networking phases to build a system that supports the communities, as well as taking that information, synthesizing it into a workable model that actually communities can use and programs can be developed from. As far as violence and statistics, we know that the way the information is gathered, processed, developed, and then fed up through the system from a nonprofit organization through communities, counties, through the state level, then federal, and then back down, unfortunately, there's a huge gap in regards to that information getting into the hands of those that are trying to create the programs. And so those that are trying to do the violence prevention efforts, they're now designing programs of information that was 8 to 10 years old. Existing violence and intervention challenges is that within the community base, getting it into the hands of those that need it, helping those families at that bottom level. So that way, intervention is more appropriate, services are able to be applied, you reduce the overlap of duplication of services, and agencies that don't normally communicate are now able to get resources. As far as the intervention and data collection, one of the things that we need to start looking at is the advantage or use of technology to be able to not only collect data, but the way it's processed and getting it in real time, as opposed to getting it after the fact, getting it years later, sometimes almost a decade. One of the things that I'd use and look at when I was a social worker was child fatalities. Globally, we know that statistically, 21,000 children die every day around the world. I look at this and I use this number because they're the ones that are at greatest risk, and these are less than 1 year of age. Also, the National Child Abuse and Neglect Data System reports that in the United States, we have 1,770 children that will die right here annually just because of the lack of resources. Now, for me, what's startling about that information is that the year that we were able to get that data back from the resources, it's 2009 data. That's ridiculous to me. That's crazy. Just trying to get information and creating programs and services based on data that was almost a decade old. Also, the ones that are at greatest risk are the ones that we're losing. Less than 1 year of age. They have no way of defending themselves. They're left to us to support, to watch over and protect. Typically what happens when we're collecting data, and I'm just using child abuse as a tool, because that's one of the ones that cross cultures, cross socioeconomic levels, that's one that everybody can agree upon is in crisis. When you have an infant or you have a child that's vulnerable, okay, what do we do for them? Well, we collect data on suspected abuse. We'll take that data and then store it. We'll process it, analyze it, then we'll go ahead and synthesize and come out with an objective. or look at something that we believe will meet the needs of those children. Again, the problem is that disconnect in regards to data. When we're able to get it in our hands, that we can then utilize it. Again, Dr. Michael Durfee, he did a study back in 2008 which captured 22 hospitals, including 18 PICUs, that looked at children under the age of one, those that were reported for abuse or neglect in the emergency departments versus inpatient departments. Inpatient. Clearly, the emergency rooms are the ones that saw the bulk of the weight of that. Okay? Again, but what startles me and is concerning to me is the year. We got this back the last year. Again, because it had to go up through the system, go through looking at everyone, and again, coming back down. Why? And thank you for offering the silo effect. I have my data. You have your data. We all have our own niche that we're working at. But because the way we're collecting it, being paper-based, even if it's on our own computer, we're logging it in, it's static. It's in a single form that's not able to communicate. Whether it's in a spreadsheet, Excel, Word doc, however you want to store it, it's still separated. We're not able to communicate. We're not able to share the information that we have that could help you, that could help children. Hospitals being the most recipient, the ones that typically see a lot of the traffic. We have law enforcement that are outside getting, you know, seeing kids. We have children protective services, even the fire department, EMTs, that are responding to incidents because of injury that they don't know what's been happening. Now, if a law enforcement is out to a house, they may have several domestic violence calls. And if they're not able to record anything, they don't know that the child was at the hospital a month and a half ago for a spiral fracture on his femur, and he's only 9 months old. They don't have that data. They don't have that information. Breaking it down, we need to connect everybody back again. We've lost that community support. Where, you know, it takes a village to raise a child. Well, it takes a village to support them and protect them. But this also includes for individuals or victims of domestic violence. We need to be able to capture information in real time. We need to be able to get that data, publish it, so that those that need that information that are going to be creating programs, developing resources, have that. Integrating multi-agency approach where we're able to connect with each other and communicate. Again, breaking the silo effect, we'll now be able to establish within our sources, our strengths, to support the families and community. This will not only save cost, we're going to duplicate services, reduce that, but also those resources, we're going to be able to identify and target the locations of where those resources are based on the data that we're collecting in real time. When I see this community over here struggling with this issue, and then I have another one over here that's similar but different, I'm not trying to meet both of their needs with the same thing. Then we're losing them. We're not getting able to provide those resources in their hands. Intervention services are now interventions, appropriate interventions. And then you're going to see more prevention, because now at that point, those that are needing help and support, when they first come into, for example, an ER, are going to get that counseling. They're going to get the mental health coming out. They're going to get other resources, the social worker in the home, being able to offer those services that they need, reducing that risk for repetitive behaviors or injuries. Joint case management. Again, I like, you know, it takes, I've got 6 kids. I couldn't imagine trying to do it alone. I'm one of 12. I have 11 brothers and sisters, and I use them all. They help me keep them in line. They help me when I can't talk to them and I want to kill them. They watch them and, you know, give me a timeout. They help me raise them. They're connected with them. They know what's going on. If I don't have it at that time, they step in and help me out. They're able to support me through that. That's that community base. That's the case management. We used to do that. We used to have that with the village raising the child. Again, it doesn't mean the responsibility is on one person, but there's other eyes to support. And the safety net. That if something's missed, someone else is going to be able to catch it. Whether you're the doctors, whether you're in the emergency room, child protective services, law enforcement, fire department, EMTs, everybody's working together. From a systems approach, how does that look? We have a system that now everybody is able to put into. Now the difference is that if you're, because of HIPAA laws in the medical, okay, only certain people are able to access that information. which is different than law enforcement and children's services and mental health. But all those other pieces are important as well. And if we're all contributing into that single point, then we are collecting the correct vision, the correct image of what we need to do, as well as the resources that child or family needs. That approach is what's going to change it. Now, how you separate that, and the legal part of that is that, yes, it is somewhat departmentalized. It is a single base system that if mental health, you're able to input that information into the categories or areas that mental health would be storing their information anyways. Same with the doctor. If they go to a doctor's visit, if there's an ER visit, that's still in the same place, but within that. Now, social workers actually get to see the whole spectrum. If there's a case open, they have access to the legal issues, the law enforcement. They have issues, especially if it's a small child that has medical issues, possible abuse or neglect. They get to see all of that. That's what's going to open up for them, that they can see the whole picture. They get the number of times that law enforcement has been called out for domestic violence. They get the number of times they've been in the emergency room and the different emergency rooms that they'll go to. Because they know if they keep going to this one, it's going to hit a red flag. As opposed to, well, I was for an elbow fracture on this one. This one I went for, you know, concussion. This one I went for a pulled shoulder. Well, because we don't talk to each other, they're actually able to continue that abuse. And again, I don't see it as that they're intentionally trying to do that. I think that they're stuck in a pattern in a system that they don't know how to get out of. And again, when you turn the light on, you see what needs to be done. We're able to step in and provide the appropriate services and support for them. So agencies interact with each other on a push-pull information. Law enforcement may need to know, okay, is there mental health? Okay, well then we'll connect with them, get that information. But at least knowing that there's some mental health issues. As a social worker, there was a child that unfortunately, mom was bipolar, off her meds. The children that were with, when she was on her meds, she was fine. She did a phenomenal job. She was the best parent. She was attentive, responsive, supportive. Unfortunately, when she was off her meds, she turned into another individual that wasn't able to help her children and protect them. Ironically, she wasn't the one that was hurting her kids. It was her husband. When she was off her meds, he was allowed to go. With a multi-agency approach, we're able to see that. Okay, she needs this. We need to get her some meds. Okay, there's some monitoring now. Perfect. We can get the children in to be seen. All three were preschool age, so they weren't seen in school, but now we got them connected with resources that had daycare programs. So we got eyes on them and support into them. They were able to then help and move forward. Mom was able to keep her kids because she got the help she needed. Fortunately, at that time, we had that collaboration with the community. They were able to pull together. Agencies now are able to update their information in real time so that you're not just, you know, because of the technology, we can input some of the information in the field and you're not transferring it to the computer when you get into the office. They're able to collect it at that time, so we're reducing redundancy. Also, for information that's available via mobile platforms, there's programs that are out there that you can actually put in the information and it stores it so that when you get back to the office, it'll transfer for you because it's on the same platform. It's web-based. Using technology, we're able to capture that. And information is transferred to other departments in real time where they need to get it. Real-time data then can be utilized to create services, to identify needs, provide support where it's appropriate. In an ideal world, we're all talking. We're all collective. We're all working with each other to support them. Having that access to the information as it should be, again, with the understanding that there are certain departments that need to have more information than others, all the information is important. Collecting it in a platform that allows that access gives them a fighting chance. That heads up provides that information. Thank you.